Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
All we're trying to do is get a little bit better each and every day around here. Happy Wednesday, Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and streaming on ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuemeke. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We get to talk to Myron Metcalf about some college hoops, Ryan Clark about what's gone on at LSU's Pro Day, and Solomon Thomas, as Jhené Egbuemeke is proudly repping her Stanford t-shirt, the former Stanford Cardinal defensive lineman with us here. You're riding high right now, Jhené, aren't you?
So you're wearing your Notre Dame shirt. I have no clue why you're wearing it. Maybe just manifesting greatness in the future. But I am wearing my Stanford t-shirt, mind you. I wore it on SportsCenter today, where we're supposed to be like all dressed to the T. I was like, Today I'm wearing my Stanford for my Stanford Cardinal, who advanced past the Cardinals, which is always fun when you have that, to go to the Final Four. So very proud of them.
Yes, I was going to say, on the women's side, you've got South Carolina and Stanford squaring off, Arizona and UConn squaring off in that spot. Jhené, your squad made me a little bit nervous yesterday in the first three quarters of that game.
Nah, I wasn't nervous because we're a second half team. My dad actually reminded me of that midway through. My dad like sent a text to Coach Tara Vanderveer because they're like best buddies. But yeah, I mean, we are a second half team. We get adjustments and, you know, we couldn't buy a basket. And then now, you know, in the second half, everything, when it rains, it pours when we knock down from three. By the way, if there's something to follow for the tournament, right, the women's tournament, follow Stanford making threes versus South Carolina. I think they only need a few more to set the record for most made threes in a tournament.
Wow. All right. So on the cusp of some pretty incredible stuff, which is saying a lot given the Stanford Cardinal program and some of the proud alums that we know
have
gone there.
Oh, wow. Thank you. So kind of you.
Listen, and if you're wondering why I am wearing my Notre Dame hoodie today,
yes,
or sweatshirt today, because obviously the Notre Dame men and women were not in the tournament this year. That's unfortunate, but we survive in advance and move on. But it is a great day for Notre Dame people because yesterday on the men's side of the tournament, we got to watch both Michigan and USC lose. And anytime that happens, I feel like Notre Dame fans can sit around and take some solace in that.
That is true. I like that. That was a nice added bonus. Even though our boy, Jalen Rose, we kind of wanted this for him and Juwan. But
that was kind of tough. So we've got on the men's side, Houston, Baylor, Gonzaga, and UCLA. The reason why Juwan Howard and the Michigan Wolverines are no longer dancing. 11 seed UCLA goes from the first four to the final four now,
yes.
Jhené, in one of the more unlikely tournament runs. Those scrappy upstart kids from Westwood.
Oh, yeah. Westwood got it all hard out here. No, I love Westwood. People were like, oh, how horrible is it to go back to Brentwood? But no, I love seeing UCLA.
Is it Brentwood? Is that it for UCLA?
It's Westwood, but like people also say vicinity, Brentwood, all that type of stuff. We got all the woods in here. But yeah, seeing UCLA win, you know, while I make fun of, you know, the situation that it predicated on with Michigan and our guys, Juwan and also Jalen Rose, I love that the Pac-12 has really shown out, you know, being able to represent in both tournaments. We deserved our day in the sun, and it is here. And Gonzaga is like Pac-12 North. So, like, we're claiming them.
That becomes the interesting part here. Jhené Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Because Gonzaga, as we mentioned going into the tournament, and probably didn't say loud enough, and people probably didn't say loud enough all year, are two wins away from the perfect season, are two wins away from going almost wire to wire as number one, and would join some rare air that we know they would be the first team to go undefeated since, I believe, the 1976 Indiana Hoosiers team. And Jhené, if that happens, do we start to talk about them as one of the best ever? How are we supposed to view this? And do you think people are going to be critical of this team and the way they won? Because we know it was a pandemic year, different scheduling, and certainly a tournament in circumstances like we've never seen.
History helps Gonzaga, and history hurts Gonzaga. How does it help? A lot of people are rooting for them to make this type of history because you just said it. It's been 50-something years. I'm not great at math, but almost 50 years since we've seen an undefeated team make it through. So a lot of people are like, wow, it's about time. And this team is great. Let's be real here. They rank first nationally in scoring offense, first in field goal percentage, and two-point percentage, shooting 64% from two. And so you think about how great this Gonzaga team has been. A lot of people will say, all right, caveats here, pandemic year, teams not being able to have their full squads out there, the nature in which teams have floated in and out, opted in and out, like that's going to be challenged when potentially they win. But the reality is they still did something that was very difficult in a year where it was hard to push through. And so history hurts in the sense that they're up against those expectations. Junior, there's so many numbers that this Gonzaga team really has done. I mean, they set an NCAA record by recording their fifth straight 30-win season. They deserve respect for that. They've won 27 consecutive games by double digits, which is the most by any team in the last 60 years. So a lot of people say, well, this is not like one of the best juggernaut teams in college basketball, but they're still doing stuff better than the rest in a historic margin while leading the nation in a number of categories. So they deserve their flowers as well.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. If you want to criticize them for playing in the WCC, they've gone out and dominated that level of competition to the tune that you just made right there. Hell, if you want to talk about going up against some of the best, Evan Mobley from USC is supposed to be one of these lottery picks, and all we saw was Drew Timmy absolutely yanking money out of his pockets last night during the course of that game with an illustrious mustache, by the way. And then you've got Jalen Suggs. Like, you've got big-time guys on this squad. You've got future lottery picks on this squad. And Jalen Suggs, their star guard, talked about some of the difficult things they've had to overcome and what's actually made this season more special because of it this year.
It's been challenging, you know, but this group of guys here have made it a lot easier, you know, and us being away from family, you know, for a majority of the year and not really getting to see them or have fans at our games, you know, until the last couple games of the regular season. So it's been really challenging, but, I mean, through it all, I think we've done a great job in staying together and our team chemistry, you know, and our brotherhood has really helped, you know, help pass the time and, you know, make it all a lot easier. And just getting to this point is extremely special. You know, we're going to celebrate it, but we got two more, you know, that we need to get done, and we're taking them one game at a time.
Now, Chiney, I don't want to hear any talk about anyone, you know, judging this championship differently because we haven't done it all along with all the sports this year. People have fought my idea that an asterisk saying this season was unlike any other in a lot of ways that made it more challenging in some instances to denote that. So we're not going to do it at all for this team, especially not in the tournament that already rewards picking a wonky champion most years. I mean, UCLA came into the NCAA tournament on a 4-game losing streak, lost, and I believe, in the quarterfinals of their own conference tournament to Oregon State, the eventual champs, and then got in basically barely beating Michigan State in the play-in game in that spot. So now we get through all this and they're in the Final Four. It's a reminder that college basketball's regular season is always a crapshoot and that the tournament does not seek to reward the truest champion but the most fun champion in this spot. And so for Gonzaga, who's been knocking on this door for a long time, and for Mark Few, who's been coaching tournament teams and coaching dominant runs, like you said, this could be the cap to a pretty unbelievable rise from what they used to be as a sort of plucky mid-major to now a team in college basketball that's got future NBA players on it consistently and can get over the hump and add the hardware that might give them the credentials for us to take this a bit more seriously throughout next year's regular season from start to finish.
Oh gosh, you said a bit more seriously and I just want to have fun with it because they also have great facial hair and just hair, period, on their team on Gonzaga. My little sister's like, what's up with their swag? I'm like, it's very Pacific Northwest, Arima. That's my little sister's name.
That is true. It feels like that side of the country kind of majors in these sort of hairstyles right here, where it's not even just the goatee. It's sort of the dirty goatee into the beard. Yeah, like, there's a lot of grunge to this.
It started with Adam Morrison, former Gonzaga great.
Fact.
Okay. But I wanted to make it a little bit lighter because obviously they're probably hearing the history and feeling the expectations. And if they lose, they'd say like, oh man, this was our real shot to win. The last time they got close was, I believe, in the 2017 national title game. And they lost to UNC, the team that eventually obviously won. I just love the synergy between tournaments, Junior. We saw Jalen Suggs, you know, he FaceTimed Paige Beckers, UConn women's star, freshman that just was named today AP Player of the Year. First time that's ever happened in the women's game. Man, it's crazy what she's about to do. But Jalen Suggs, Gonzaga star, FaceTimed her to congratulate her, and it turned into her giving him a pep talk to say, like, yo, like, she didn't say this, but, like, paraphrasing, right? She had 28 points, and she was just trying to give some of that confidence that got her team, UConn women, to the Final Four to Jalen, and guess what? Now his team delivered. So I love the storylines that are happening with history. Gonzaga hopefully trying to be a national title winner for the first time since 1976, Bob Knight's IU team. And then also on the women's side, we have a star blossoming in real time, plus probably the best games we've seen. So it's been a great March Madness after a year that has been full of perseverance.
It's so true. My God, if we are the sum of the company we keep, then Paige Beckers and Jalen Suggs are doing pretty damn good in that department. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. So impressive numbers, impressive runs, like you said, in the midst of a global pandemic that these players were able to pull off. So we get set for the Final Four coming up this weekend. But coming up next, we got to have a talk about stats, because as we look at sports, one voice spoke very loudly about what we have seen from one of the biggest stars in the NBA in the last decade, and that star had something to say back. We'll get to that next. Chin Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chin Angola Jr., the podcast.
Final Four set in the men's and women's NCAA tournaments. How do we make sense of 11 seed UCLA getting to where they are, and where do we put Gonzaga historically, should they be able to complete this undefeated season? Chin Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chin Angola. We'll talk to Myron Metcalf, our ESPN college basketball reporter, in about 10 minutes here. Try and make some sense of what's been a pretty wild picture so far, especially on the men's side. The amount of upsets we've seen there versus a lot of the power players that we've seen on the women's side, with some history heading into the Final Four also, with now two black women representing as head coaches in that group.
Coach Adia Barnes and Coach Dawn Staley. And I've told people, I said this on the First Take, Her Take podcast. You guys can check out probably now. It's probably out right now. I just love the diversity and representation that we see in the women's Final Four. You see, you know, two black women, a white woman, and Coach Tara Vanderveer, my former coach, and a white man, you know, Coach Gina Auriemma, who was right on her tail for all-time wins. So it's just great to see the game take its steps forward, not just with what we see on the court, but also who we see leading these teams.
Yeah, exactly. That stuff is important. We've seen that leadership, how it can matter, what it can mean in those kind of circles when you have their voices echoing in these important rooms. So excited to talk to Myron about all of that. But, Janae, every once in a while, an interesting thing can happen around here where the people talk about sports can end up becoming part of the story. And we had that happen yesterday here at ESPN. Stephen A. Smith, our great host of First Take, host of Stephen A.'s World on ESPN+, was talking about the historic night we saw from Russell Westbrook, an unbelievable triple-double performance. And, Janae, I know this has got to always be interesting because you're a current athlete right now, and so you're a lot more in tune and in touch with these current players, the guys currently in the league right now. And it is amazing in this spot because after Stephen A. Smith came out and said he really doesn't care about the numbers for Russell Westbrook, Russ had a very, very loud point of response. Russell Westbrook's wife had a very loud and pointed response to this. So I want to play Stephen A.'s sound from First Take. Give everyone the context. This is what he said about Russell Westbrook after that triple-double performance on First Take on Tuesday.
With a lot of people, I can joke around, but not when it comes to Westbrook, because that ain't his style. You know, you don't joke when it comes to him. And I respect that. So I'm going to be as real and as authentic as I possibly can be. Westbrook's numbers last night mean absolutely nothing to me, because even though that's great numbers, that's what Westbrook can do. We all know this. He's a former league MVP. He's the most athletic point guard we have ever seen in NBA history. He's been, I believe it was four conference finals in his career. We know this. But here's the reality of the situation. Russell Westbrook, when we look at his game, it's the same stuff every year. Might get a little bigger, strong, athletic, can take it to the basket. Still hasn't got that shot going, that three-point shot. You know, you in the same conference as Steph Curry for years. You struggling from three-point range. You going up against Dame Dollar, Dame Time. The three-point shot ain't there. Kevin Durant departs. You don't make it out of the first round until you get to Houston last year. Last year in Houston, he was an MVP candidate, averaging 27-7-7, okay? But in the playoffs, they obviously folded because they were going up against the Lakers and they were just overmatched. We understand that. You want out. So what do? You end up going to Washington. Now, I understand that I get to look at coaching because Scott Brooks should have some explaining to do to have the absolute worst defense in basketball. Any coach that has the worst defense in basketball should have some explaining to do. They are ranked 30th in the league in points allowed. But Bradley Beal and you are in the backcourt together, and y'all are 17-28 in the Eastern Conference.
So, Chiné, hearing that from Stephen A. Smith, for you as a current player, how do people internalize these things? Because we know people hear it. We know it comes up. And clearly, Russell Westbrook, we'll hear from him in a second, heard this loud and clear.
This is one of those things where you want people to say, this person is right, this person is wrong. But I think both are right in this instance. Because if you're thinking in the lens of Russell Westbrook, this is a man that has won MVP, has been a multiple-time All-Star, and shows up each and every night with that tenacity and ferocious nature to his game at the point guard position. And he said in response to Stephen A., all right, I've already won. I came from the streets of LA. I'm already a champion before I even step on the court because I've made it to this point. And that's the mentality that has made Russell Westbrook great, right? But at the same time, there's no championship when we look at the number of players he's played with, whether at OKC, another guy he tag teamed with again, James Harden in Houston, and now Bradley Beal. When you're surrounded by stars, there's expectations. And what Stephen A. has rightfully criticized is the sports part of it. He's not condemning you as a man, right? He's basically saying, hey, like, we think all of the things that you've done, we've seen it, we've celebrated it, but now we're waiting on the next. You know, we can't keep celebrating the same things because you've raised that standard. And so Stephen A. is fair to criticize Russ in that moment. And Russ is fair to say that, hey, I've already won, because athletes make the decisions to stand, success or like championship. Like, you have to make the decision whether long term it's getting that generational wealth or doing what James Harden did and, you know, try to pursue a championship with other stars. And so everyone's fair in their decision or even their criticisms. It just is difficult because, my goodness, you mentioned, you know, his wife, Nina Earle. Can we shout her out too? Like, stand by your man. I am here for her. Pac-12 alum, UCLA hooper. And she had paragraphs on social media to clap back. So, Junior, this is one of those things where both are right, but until you win a championship, it won't close the loop on these criticisms.
I think that's a great point, though, is not everybody has to be in it for that reason. That's sort of what we reduce it down to on the outside. And at some point, it's understandable because we have seen this from Russ so many times. He becomes a victim of his own success where it's,
yeah,
all right, well, how many more times can we say it's awesome that you did the triple-double? We know Russ has that ability to do so. And we've seen his stats have led to wins more often than not. But there is that point of diminished returns where we've also seen it be too much in fourth quarters, in key situations that have cost his team's game. And so after a while, we sort of run out of stuff to say. It is totally fine. Dominique Foxworth brought that up, and I appreciate him saying it. Getting to free agency was his Super Bowl. Getting that life-changing money for him and his family, wouldn't trade that for a Super Bowl at any point in time, because that is some long-term financial stability that can help so many people in and around your lives. But it also, especially in the way that we digest the NBA, can be reduced down to a ring count in times that makes these counts.
Do you have a ring, though?
It's sort of unavoidable at certain times. Chiné and Golic Jr. is brought to you by Goodyear. Celebrating March deal days with month-long service and savings, visit GoodyearAutoservice.com for offers. But coming up next, let's revisit the tournaments. Are we going to get the Baylor and Gonzaga finale that we're looking for on the men's side? And if so, what do we do with this Gonzaga team historically? We'll do that after this word from DraftKings. Guys, baseball is back. And DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you on the field with a free shot for a share of millions of dollars in total prizes. All you got to do, pick 10 players, stay under the salary cap, and when you do, pile up points for hits, runs, strikeouts, and more. Download the DraftKings app now and use code CJR when you do to get a free shot at a share of the millions of dollars all up for grabs this week, all with your first deposit. That's code CJR, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Myron Metcalf with us next on ESPN Radio.
Chiné and Golic Jr., the podcast. The madness.
The Baylor Bears are going to the Final Four. Their first trip to the national semifinals since 1950.
The Westwood One NCAA Radio Network.
The Final Fours are set. What do we do now as we are on the cusp of history in a couple of different regards? Chiné and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And to help us out, what's up?
you had an opportunity to say, last time that I checked, the Final Fours are set. Shout out to Nipsey, okay? I see you, Cliff, on the boards.
Man, that is a missed opportunity that I'm gonna feel bad about for a while.
No, I got snaps from him.
No,
I'm so excited.
No, I can say that's solid work by Cliff. That's solid look by you.
It's okay.
And it's just
cultural.
It's a miss by me. Every day I come here to get slandered by Chinea Agumake for just the utter lack of melanin in my body.
Myron, save us.
Myron Metcalf, our ESPN college basketball reporter and ESPN radio host, kind enough to join us now and save me from getting dragged anymore around here. How you doing, Myron?
I'm good. I'm 37. I don't know if I could pull that off either. Like, I probably would sound goofy if I tried to say what Chinea just said, but it's a great line, though. You should have used it, Mike.
It's a great line, but I'm with you. Like, I'm on the cusp of 32. I am a 32-year-old balding white guy, and I don't know if it necessarily plays with the same gusto in all this, but Lord knows we're going to try around here, Myron. So, and listen,
A for effort.
Wait, listen, I was always an effort player. No one is ever going to confuse me with anything otherwise in this spot. But Myron, we have gone from effort to the cream of the crop. We got the Final Four set in the men's and women's tournament here. And with Baylor opening as a 13.5-point favorite over UCLA, with Gonzaga opening as a 13.5-point favorite, and Baylor getting set to face Houston on the other side, can we pencil this Baylor-Gonzaga matchup that we were expecting all along in here, or did one of these teams have a chance to knock off the ones?
Yeah, I don't think we can pencil anything in just because of what's happened in the tournament so far. I mean, I think Gonzaga's going to win it and maintain the perfect season. I do think Baylor beats Houston, and we get Baylor Gonzaga, but just nothing feels certain. Like, I've just been certain about 10 times so far in this tournament, and I've been wrong every time. So I don't think UCLA can beat Gonzaga. I just don't think they're built. I don't think anybody's built, honestly, to beat Gonzaga. But that, to me, should be a game where I won't be shocked if Gonzaga covers. Houston-Baylor is different, though, because, like, Kelvin Sampson and that defense is tough, and those guys are in the weight room. They're strong. They're physical. And they're playing a great Baylor team. But I don't think that's a guarantee in that matchup at all.
Myron Metcalf, ESPN college basketball reporter and also ESPN radio host, joining us here on Chinea and Golic Jr. And Myron, you know, I think a lot of people have expectations for Gonzaga considering the opportunity they have to finish undefeated first time since 1976. And we started the show by saying they rank first nationally in scoring offense, field goal percentage, and two-point percentage. So if Gonzaga wins, obviously the expectations are there. Where do we rank this juggernaut of an offensive team with the all-time greats?
You know, I put that out on Twitter, like, you know, over the last 10 years, who beats this team? Honestly, for me, I think it's only like 2018 Villanova and 2012 Kentucky. Maybe 2015 Kentucky, but they didn't win their own championship. So, but I think Gonzaga goes down as one of the best teams we've seen over the last 20 years if they have this perfect season. Like, you got to think about all the great teams that had a chance and couldn't pull it off. UNLV in 91 was great. Larry Bird, Indiana State, great in 79. 2014, Wichita State undefeated, ran into Kentucky in the second round. And in that 2015 Kentucky team had dudes like Karl Anthony Towns. Devin Booker was coming off the bench for that team. and that team didn't get it done. So I just think history is what they're facing more than anything. But if they pull it off, this is one of the greatest teams I've ever covered. I mean, they can score at all levels. They got legit NBA talent. And I just think they're the real deal.
Myron, do you think that there are going to be people that try and use the differences of a pandemic season against them when we have these conversations?
Yeah, because they lost to Gonzaga. So, of course, they're going to say that. Yeah, they're going to say, oh, Gonzaga didn't do this or didn't do that. But they beat West Virginia. They beat Kansas. They beat Iowa. They beat Virginia. They beat BYU three times. And then they came into this tournament, and they are amazing. Like, what they just did to me in the Elite Eight was just remarkable. They were toying with the USC team that had toyed with Kansas and it toyed with Oregon. So I don't know, man. To me, Gonzaga is like Mike Tyson from like 85 to 90 before Buster Douglas. It doesn't matter who you put in front of them. They're going to win.
Mama going to knock you out, okay? Chinea and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Myron Metcalf joining us. And you know, before we get, I want to get your take on the women's tournament. But before we get there, my final question here on the men's. Which player do you think will have the most impact on who wins it all?
I think it's Jalen Suggs. Like, you know, obviously, like guards control this level. If you think about the Final Four and what teams have dominated over the last 20, 30 years, there's always a really good guard in there. And I think Jalen Suggs is that. He's just so strong. People don't realize how big he is if you stand next to him. 6'4", solid, played quarterback, was a big-time recruit. Ohio State gave him a scholarship. And I think he's got to control the tempo. He had 14 turnovers in his first three NCAA tournament games. He had three against USC. That changed the tone. Like, if he can limit his turnovers and dictate the pace, be a great passer, slash to the basket, it just changes everything that you can do, because you got to put an extra defender on him. You got to do something to slow him down. But if you do that, Corey Kispert and Drew Timmy and everybody else is waiting to exploit that. So I think he is the key player going forward.
Love that segue, Myron Medcalf, because obviously he just had a FaceTime with Paige Beckers, who was just named AP Player of the Year. First time for a freshman to win that award. What have you thought about the women, okay?
Oh, it's been incredible. So I have been doing, like, I've been watching games courtside in the men's tournament, but I assure you, I got a second screen up watching the women's game. So I watched all of Baylor-UConn while I was watching the men's tournament as well. Definitely. And it's amazing. Like, Paige Beckers, I'm from Minnesota, Jalen from Minnesota. So, you know, I saw them kind of come up. But what Paige has done, I just wish she could be one and done. I guess that's sort of my thought on it. I would love to see her somehow be the first, because I just think that would be a global event, because she's so good. And that Baylor game was the best game that I've seen in any tournament, men's or women's. It was a foul, but still a great game. So I'm happy people are giving that tournament the attention it deserves.
Incredible stuff as always, and you're absolutely right. It was a foul. I'm glad we're all in agreement on that one. Follow him at Metcalf by ESPN on Twitter for great updates as we get towards the close of the tournament. Myron, we appreciate the time, man. We'll talk
to
you soon.
Thanks, Myron.
Thank you.
Myron Medcalf coming and saving me while Chanae's trying to fry me out here.
Sorry.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance.
I
you
love
can save
you.
Big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat insurance. Visit progressive.com. Coming up next, we'll see what other lyrical opportunity I botch coming out of the break, and try and figure out if the Green Bay Packers are getting ready to fumble the bag famously because of the decisions they've already made. We'll tell you why next. Chanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, streaming on ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Chanae Agumake. And as I miss on the last time around coming in from the break, this is unfortunately the second year anniversary of the passing of Nipsey Hussle, who we've heard coming back in a lot of these breaks. So obviously a far too soon, tremendously unfortunate, but a hell of a legacy left behind that we've seen so many people trying to build off of since that moment.
Exactly. That's why I was trying to make you, you know, up your rap skills, because that is our intro. Was it rapper? Was today the rapper one? I could be a great rapper. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That was it. So, yeah.
Yes. Like I say, Chanae's been trying to help me out here, because as we said yesterday, she was just sitting around here going through her list of accomplishments already. Saying, like, literally out of hand, just like, yeah, you know what? If I really, like, wanted to, I could be a rapper. And we all sat, like, the worst part is we all sat around here and kind of thought about it and went, yeah, she's probably right. She's done damn near everything else at this point. So
Chanae the Stallion, Amazon, but this ain't about me. Who's it really about, Junior?
Yeah, this is not about you in this spot. This is about Aaron Rodgers in this spot, in a way that it continues to be. Like, Chanae, we were just talking during the break about the quarterback discomfort we've seen all offseason. Russell Wilson being a guy who's been out here not saying things publicly, but letting people know things kind of publicly, that he's not happy with his situation. And Aaron Rodgers, who called his future a beautiful mystery after this playoff loss. Like, that should have let us know that we were never going to be able to run too far from all of this. Because listen to this back and forth. Mark Murphy, working with the Packers, their GM, had a back and forth with Rob Demoski, who covers the Packers for us here at ESPN. And just listen to how spicy this got along the way.
Why haven't you guys done anything with Aaron's contract yet?
No, I can't really get into specific players. Yeah, we've been able to create room with others.
Don't you guys want to ensure, though, that he's your quarterback beyond just this season?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the specifics again. Good try, though, Rob.
Okay.
My mistake on that, by the way. Mark Murphy is the Packers' CEO. Brian Gutekunst is their GM. But, Chanae, you hear that, and does that make you think we're any more likely to see Aaron Rodgers on the move after this 2021 season? Because before you roll your eyes, let me give you what they're talking about here in this spot. Because going into next season for Aaron Rodgers, after the 2021 season, there's a potential out in his contract where the Green Bay Packers could save anywhere between $22 and $25 million $1 billion by parting way with Aaron Rodgers at that time period. And this offseason, they've restructured six different player deals to try and alleviate some salary cap space. Most notably, they have not restructured Aaron Rodgers, and sources close to Rodgers believe that he wants assurances that he's not a lame duck quarterback going into 2021 the way he would be now. So, Chiney, does any of that make you think we're more likely?
We are so pro athlete here, so maybe my lens of view was a little distorted, but didn't this man just throw 48 touchdowns this past season? Led Green Bay to NFC Championship game. Now, I know we all have these Super Bowl aspirations, but like, after you did the deed of drafting a quarterback that was potentially his replacement, he went out there and did the right thing. I'm just curious why you can't, even if you have a short-term goal with him or a short-term plan with him, why can't you show a little bit of love? Just saying like, yo, Aaron's our guy. He had a tremendous season. But, you know, we're trying to figure things out for everyone involved. Like, I just don't know. I wish we sort of like the NFL or even just people in sports had a little bit of like poker training or something, where these situations can balloon out of control and then hopefully regress back to the mean. But we saw a situation in Seattle, speaking of the NFC, that ballooned out of control. But now it's like, okay, a lot of their guys are re-signing back. Russ seems a little bit happier. Why do we have to go through this roller coaster time and time again by not showing just a little bit of love? We're not saying a lot. Like, you don't have to say this guy is exactly who we need for the next 5 years. But why can't you just give a little bit of love and moderation, Junior? That's what baffles me.
Chiney Ingold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And I'd say this, Chiney, that we both know very well around here. That's because there's only so much you can say in sports, because what talks more than anything? Money. You can tell me you love me until you're blue in the face, but you can show me you love me in the one way that matters most of all in this spot. And that assurance, pushing some of that money in ways that the Packers have opted not to in this spot. They could have converted his March roster bonus of $6.8 million into a signing bonus, which would have moved the charge to later years on here, making it a little harder to get rid of him on that side, but helping them out in the interim. They didn't do that. Aaron Rodgers isn't dumb. He saw what Tom Brady just went through in New England, because remember, we're not that far removed from Tom Brady showing up to training camp and asking reporters, well, do you think I should be resigned? How much do you think I'm worth in this spot here? Tom Brady very contentiously and very publicly saying what we all kind of felt internally there, which is he wanted to be back, and he started to realize the team may not have seen him in their long-term plans the same way. I think that's the message that Aaron Rodgers can understandably take from this. They drafted Jordan Love in the first round. They appreciate the MVP season he had, Chiney, but they have not in any way in this spot gone out and shown him financially that he means something to them beyond this year. All their moves look like chips in the table for 21, and then after that, they're willing to figure it out in a way that is still baffling to me.
Yeah, I'm just looking up his age, 37 years old. And I think, you know, while we have been skewed to think elite quarterbacks, like, we're at the Tom Brady standard, which is absurd for, you know, productive play for that age. Junior, do you think that there is, like, his expectations for a little bit more long-term love are out of the realm based on his age, even though he's coming off of an MVP season?
No, and I think just for that reason, Aaron Rodgers, yes, injury were a part of the last few years, but we saw this past season, when he is healthy, he is the perfect weapon, not only in the NFL, but for this offense they want to run with Matt LaFleur in this
LaFleur.
And so, yeah, I think we've seen Tom Brady, listen, is going to be the outlier. But in general, we know all of the things right now that are allowing athletes to play further and further into their careers. And that's across the board. That's before you put a red jersey on them every day in practice and cater every rule to these quarterbacks in the NFL. That's why, Chiney, I still look at this. And I understand they put themselves in a corner, in a box a bit, by drafting Jordan Love, because they got a valuable commodity in a rookie quarterback contract that they probably don't want to see go to waste. But at some point, it's that sunk cost fallacy. Like, all right, we're in for it, and we were wrong in this spot. And admitting you're wrong is sometimes a hard thing, but it might be a necessary thing.
Please
right
do
here.
It.
Because
less headaches.
Because Green Bay might be breaking moves with Aaron Rodgers soon.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
Even though we all think it's insane. Like, just keep the guy. He's really good. Green Bay, do you really want to risk it after all this time? I don't think you should want
to. Don't risk it all.
I can't want it for you in these spots, Green Bay. But we can try to help. Now, coming up next, we all spent a lot of time online during this last calendar year. We know one particular NBA player has spent a ton of time online traditionally. Can that go too far? We'll explain why the risk isn't always worth the reward next here. Janae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae Angola Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.